What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres. With me, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel, who is hot off a Instagram follow from the cleaner himself, Mr. Kenny Omega. How are you doing?
You know, you often get friend requests and follows from people. They're kind of mundane. You just another number, but shout out to David Arquette for messaging Mr. Omega saying, make this kid's dream. And I don't think at 54 I'm a kid.
Make this 54-year-old kid's dreams come true.
And our first communication was just him saying to me, sup. And it made my night.
He just slid in and was like, sup.
I had a rough day due to some family stuff, and something as stupid as Kenny Omega following you. Or not stupid, but like...
You're wearing his shirt, so obviously...
And I'm drinking his, I don't know if he's an investor, but Redcon 1 Gummy Bear Blast. It's really fantastic.
Well, you've heard a third voice. We are being joined today in the studio by a friend of mine, but also bassist for the popular punk band Bayside after 23 years. He's also a part-time model for Violent Gentlemen, part owner of Legal Speed Coffee, host of Thank the Maker, the Star Wars podcast, as well as the radio show on Spotify, Nick Gambarian. Hey. How are you, brother? Thanks.
I'm great. I'm so happy. It's been a minute. We got off tour, about 2 months ago, but I had a busy month after we got off tour. I went to London for Star Wars Celebration. We had a show in Hawaii. So I've really only been like home for 3 or 4 weeks now. And I have not gotten to the Comedy Store since then. So I'm happy you asked me to do this so I could come chill here for a little bit.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. You're part of the family. I mean, you're friends with Frank Castillo. I mean, you were here for the Not Sam-a-mania.
Yep.
You and I have hung out with Earl as well at New Japan. Like, you know, you're Comedy Store Wrestling family at this point.
I hope so. I love that.
So, before we hop into a bunch of news that we have to cover, I wanted to ask you a couple wrestling questions just to get the fans on your side. When did you start watching pro wrestling? Like, when did you fall in love with it?
Well, I'm almost 43. So
enjoy
it's only gotten worse since I hit 40, so it's getting less enjoyable. But I'll be 43 in August. I was there for, you know, WrestleMania 3 is one of my earliest memories, you know, like watching Andre get slammed, you know, like that's absolutely one of my earliest core memories. So I would say early 90s, I dipped out a little bit, came back. Late 90s.
For the Attitude Era?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I heard some wrestlers beating up their boss every night, I had to come back for that. And then I really honestly dipped out for another solid chunk of time. And then Ryan, who we were just talking about, our buddy Ryan, the reason that we know each other.
Shout out him, Ryan.
Yeah. Ryan Lozano. Him and our two buddies, Scott and Colin. Every time they would start talking about wrestling, I'd be like, shit, I haven't like watched wrestling in ages. I want to like be part of this crew, you know, like we're already hanging out, but every time we talk about wrestling, I'm just out, you know? So I just started to get back into it a couple of years ago. And I love it just as much as anything else that I love, which, you know, hockey, Star Wars, anything like that. It's all of it. It's just, I want to be in a room with people who like shit, you know?
Hell yeah. I told bring up hockey, and then we'll have a whole episode of just hockey between you.
We might be related.
We'll do that.
Hockey,
yeah.
Star Wars.
Yeah, there you go.
I would like for you at some point to sales pitch me, like you dipped in and out of wrestling.
Yeah.
After Return of the Jedi, I've dipped out of.
Well, yeah, this, yeah.
Like
Star
I,
Wars.
A lot of people did.
You know, I was so excited about the Han Solo episode.
Prequel.
Because I thought, oh, Chewbacca will be in this. Chewbacca's my guy. Okay. And boy, that was pretty rough.
Yeah.
Am I in the wrong there? I mean, have there been some good ones and bad ones?
They're all fine.
Okay.
I will say this. I love them all. Because I love Star Wars and I love the community of Star Wars, of the good people who, you know, who are positive about it. But yeah, I mean, Solo was a flop because it didn't make enough money. It's not like it was Waterworld and lost money or whatever, you know? Like it just didn't make enough money for Disney's investors for them to care about it after a while. So I thought it was a good setup to potentially being like a 3, 4, 5 movie thing, right? You know, but it just didn't make enough money. So
I would have done they did a deep fake with Harrison Ford's face on it. Yeah, I would watch that.
Well, they have better technology now for that than they did even then, which wasn't that long ago. That
was like they hired the dude that did the deep fake. They did it for Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. Disney brought him back young with CG.
Right.
And then some dude on the internet did it better.
Yeah.
And then they hired him.
You know what his first job was? This was kind of a common misconception. His first job, why they hired him, was to do the new Indiana Jones.
Oh, there we go. That's cool.
So they didn't actually bring him on because people think that because there was a young Luke in the Boba Fett episode too.
They're like,
it looks so much better because they hired that guy. And I think he didn't even work on it. Mm. It's just Lucasfilm 1 year later was that much farther along the lines of getting that technology going. But that dude in particular has a bunch of stuff in the new Indiana Jones.
No, Will. Yeah. There ever, I know you can't have a whole film based on Chewbacca just because he doesn't really talk. But I've heard rumors of there's like a planet of Chewbaccas they could
Kashyyyk,
do.
It's called.
Damn, you're good. I thought I was a planet.
It was in. You said you dipped out after Return of the Jedi.
I did.
It was in Revenge of the Sith. So there's a whole planet. You see them in Episode 3.
So could there ever be a film not based around that world?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
If they should. They should absolutely do that.
Because he is still one of the more popular characters.
Oh, yeah. I think him and, like, one smart thing Disney's doing. I mean, they're doing a lot of great things and some stuff needs help. But, like, one thing that they know is their legacy droids and aliens and stuff like that. They don't need to die. They don't need to get old. They don't need, like, Chewbacca's hundreds of years old. Like, he'll be around for our entire lifetime. Same thing with 3PO and R2. Like, just keep them around. They're not human actors who age, you know? So just keep those costumes and those droids around for the foreseeable future.
Now, being a super fan, can you tell the difference? Like when Peter Mayhew died in the new actor played Chewbacca, can you, since you're so into it, can you
not so much.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I mean, I love it, but I love it absolutely with like my childhood heart, you know?
Sure.
So I'm like, I'm nerdy about things, but execution isn't something I pay attention to. I love the story of Star Wars. And I feel like anyone who like has problems with how it's on screen or written or anything like that, I'm like, yeah, but I've liked this since I was like 2 or 3. I care about the story. I don't care how it's given to me necessarily.
Yeah, what I tell people when they complain about shit like that or Game of Thrones, I'm like, where's your Star Wars movie?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty hard.
Make one if you think it's so bad.
Yeah,
you know?
And then have like investors and people telling you to change things in the last minute, you know?
I can't really criticize George Lucas.
Well, if you're a fan of Wookiees, there is a new one in the, was it Mando or what show was it?
Black Kersantan is his name.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, is he an evil Wookiee?
He's mercenary. More of a bounty hunter, but he's just in comic books and stuff. He's a little bit more badass, and on the show they brought him in as a badass, and then kind of made him someone that you know just a.
Yeah, he's a bigger, darker hair, but he's you know kind of
a little
badass.
Bit more vicious. Yeah.
And he's in The Mandalorian.
He was in technically the Book of Boba Fett turned. On episode 5, I want to say it was, into The Mandalorian, kind of.
Yeah, because
it's confusing. Like,
it's very confusing. So he was in that.
Oh, cool. I'll have to send me the info.
I will. Here's a good segue. You mentioned that, you know, Star Wars, Disney has a, you know, some things are good, some things are need help, much like the WWE.
Oh, of course.
So I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite company in terms of pro wrestling? Are you an AEW guy? Are you a WWE guy?
So when I got back in a couple of years ago, AEW was still growing. I just never really vibed that much with like the more family-friendly WWE. So I feel like when I got back into it, it was very specifically because of Bianca Belair. I think she's a badass. And absolutely, that was my like new hook into the modern age of wrestling. But then I started to lean into AEW because it just seemed cooler and more punk and, you know, up and coming and all this stuff. And I think now, though, I'm back to WWE. I think I want the drama. I want the the scale of it I like a lot
production
too.
Value.
Yeah. I think those are the things that I get drawn to. And just growing up on the entertainment aspect of it, you know, me and my friends have this conversation all the time. I don't think I ever evolved as a wrestling fan into being like a wrestling purist as far as like the mat goes, the ring goes. So right. I know AEW excels in that sort of stuff, and to a certain extent, you know, I do like that, but I think I like the story of the bloodline and you know, like I like the soap opera part of it.
Okay. All right. Now, final question before we jump into some news. Your Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling.
Ooh. I think Stone Cold might be like the greatest American that has ever lived. So that's
a bold statement.
We might get into this a little bit at some point, but I've been since January rewatching Monday Night Raw from the beginning. It's quite the undertaking. It's literally June now, and I'm in the thick of it. I'm in the thick of the Attitude Era. I'm like late 98 right now.
Nice.
So yeah, Austin, Undertaker, man.
The Rock.
The Rock, yeah, I'm just trying to not think of only that era. And I will say, just because of her bringing me back in, I'm going to go Bianca. I think she's going to be one of the greats.
Okay, yeah. Okay, all right. Cool. Well, how'd you feel about her dropping the belt to Asuka recently?
Odd.
I've been calling her losing the belt every pay-per-view of the last year, and I've been wrong every time until now.
the way I saw it was, I don't know who... You put a belt on Rhea, Charlotte's not really around... I don't know who's serious enough of a challenger, so I'm like, I think Bianca is just going to have it forever, and then whatever. Hopefully they have a plan for Asuka.
Well, Asuka used to be really dope.
Yeah,
undefeated, mm-hmm. and really great, and then they kind of just shat all over that.
Yeah.
I think they might try and rebuild that with her. But that's Triple H. He loves Asuka, so
yeah,
we'll see. But there's a lot of news to go through. WWE, I'll start with that first. The new, undisputed WWE Universal Championship belt was unveiled on SmackDown this past Friday. And I don't know, because apparently WWE doesn't know how to fucking do these things, whether or not it's replacing both belts.
Yeah.
If it's just a third belt for him to carry out now. Is it taking place of the blue one? I don't know what's going on with it.
It's very AEW thinking, like, what's going on? Like, it doesn't seem WWE-ish that there's a little confusion around the belt. Like, because they're pretty... What I do like about WWE is they're very well thought out, and, you know, there's not many glitches in their programming, and so it's a little confusing.
Yeah, well, what's even going on with the women's belts? The women's belts, like... unexplained, the Raw champion is just on SmackDown and vice versa, and then Asuka wins it and she's still a Raw champion on SmackDown. Like, what is going on? Well, no explanation.
Last week AJ Styles was on Raw, and it's like
brand split, lol.
Yeah,
like, it's like you wasted two episodes of the draft thing, and 2 weeks later AJ, I don't know,
this might be the fastest they've thrown away the brand split because usually they'll throw it away in like a couple months. It's like a week and a half.
Yeah.
You have AJ, you have Charlotte, Rhea on Raw. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they might have planned some kind of trading of the belts segment, but also.
They usually do that.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Like you said. Also, the World Heavyweight Championship that just came out, that Rollins has, no explanation about its lineage. On the air, they said that it's the same, that Randy Orton
That's
was
what
the
I
last
heard.
Person.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But then if you go to WWE.com, it says that there's only ever been one champion, Seth Rollins.
Interesting,
and the time. So
yeah, I did
new...
hear that, what was it, 2012, Randy held it last? That's what I heard.
So they're announcing things on TV, but then their website says something else. I appreciate that they're trying to change things up with new belts, but they should probably explain it just a little bit.
Yeah.
Right there on the show. All right, Roman, here's your new belt, by the way. Throw those other two out. Mm-hmm. Put them in your closet or something. Yeah, this is your new, the only one you'll be carrying. What do you think about the design, though? It's the same belt, but gold?
I mean, it's hard to criticize WWE's production and design. Like, that's where, to me, they excel over AEW. Like, although I do like MJF's belt, but, I like it.
Right.
I like gold, shiny shit.
I think,
blue, for sure.
Yeah, I like it way more than the red or the blue. I feel like if you're going to introduce something new, it's, like, not new enough. You know, it's basically right. Those red and blue belts is just black and gold, you know? So a little bit missed opportunity, but whatever.
Yeah, I think so too. I would have gone with something new, but hopefully they'll explain it. Probably not. Who knows? Moving along, speaking of the undisputed Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, also on that show, very interesting development in the Bloodline story, which, as I mentioned last week, I started falling off a little bit, like started getting a little stale with Sammy and KO, but now the Civil War is finally like officially going on. Jay and Jimmy confronted Roman, had their little segment there. Roman wanted Jay to kick Jimmy in the face. Didn't really happen. Jimmy had his moment where he shoved Roman's face. Crowd went wild. And then Solo looked like he was going to turn with
the
Usos.
Well, he did for a second. Yeah, it was like a double turn.
He's like, you know, you're my tribal chief, but these are my brothers, which is true. Mm-hmm. But then still went ahead and shoved his thumb in Jimmy's neck. Yeah. So I don't know. We're going to probably see that Civil War thing play out. As I mentioned before, we'll probably get a Rikishi appearance.
There's other Bloodline, right? Like out there.
Yeah, Alpha and Sika.
Yeah. The Rock, Rikishi. I mean, Naomi's married to one of the Usos, right? Like, but she's probably under contract, though, I would assume.
She's
an Impact, right?
She's an Impact now, so she won't be a part of it. But
that doesn't really help because there's no female for her to wrestle necessarily on the other side, you know?
Yeah. I'm interested to see where it goes. They pulled me back in. I mean, that whole segment was very interesting to me, and I like seeing this Civil War kind of vibe. But I do think this could potentially lead to that long-rumored Rock appearance. Mm-hmm. I think we bring in Rikishi for a little bit, a couple months, him doing this, that, and the other. I mean, the famous Rock versus Rikishi feud from a few years, you know, from that era. Mm-hmm. I did it for the Rock. That whole fight. I think that's a good way to bring the Rock into this whole thing. So we'll see. I'm excited.
I love those. I did. That segment got me into the Bloodline because I'm more AEW. Yeah, but I love some of my favorite Four Horsemen memories are when they, would say kick Sting out and, you know, the internal beef. So I would love to see, like, Solo turn. And, he's a great bad guy. I don't know what it is about him. Like, it's just the look. The facial expressions, but I hate him.
Yeah.
Which is what you want.
And it's really one of those instances where, like, you see it for 40 years of, like, a heel or someone not talking, and you're like, this guy sucks. But Solo not talk is awesome.
It's
like,
just,
it's really like, I'm like, this guy's bad.
Yeah, it's that, like, stoic, you know, you're right. Not many people can pull off not talking.
Yeah.
He does it to perfection. Yeah. So it's getting me into the Bloodline, which is weird because I'm coming late to the party.
Well, I mean, I love it. I think once he got his new song and his new entrance where everything goes dark and he comes out with the towel, like that really put it over me. Like, I work out to that fucking Solo entrance song. It just makes me feel tough, dude. I don't know. That's great.
Yeah, I'm glad that there's more after WrestleMania. And Triple H had that press conference afterwards, and he's like, oh, we have so much more story to tell at the Bloodline. I'm like, what, though? And now here it is. I'm like, okay.
That makes sense.
Good. Cool.
That makes sense. And also, you know, speaking of that entrance, like Triple H, you know, you could tell he's in charge a little bit. Maybe not fully. Maybe Vince is still back there in his ear, but the fact that we're getting better entrances definitely is a Triple H thing, for sure. Next on my list, we have LA Knight. Yeah. Qualified for Money in the Bank. Listen to me, Triple H. I know you're watching. Make it happen. LA Knight needs to be Mr. Money in the Bank, and he needs to do that for a whole year. Just let him run with the, you know, suitcase, threatening people, and eventually becoming champion. Don't let him lose like Baron Corbin. Look at where he's at now. He's back in NXT. What have you done?
Oof.
Yeah.
He does have a presence. Like, when he comes up here to the store, now, granted, he's a lot bigger than everyone who's up here, but, like, all eyes are on him. Yeah. Like, he has an energy. That...
Yeah. I like him. I mean, I really enjoyed Happy Corbin. Like, or I guess, well, let me say this. I really enjoyed the Broke Corbin into Happy Corbin. I thought that was good. Broke Corbin was comedy gold. Yeah. Amazing. It's weird. Like, to me, when you see, like, real shticks in WWE, I'm like, this is, you know, I hope these people don't think, the wrestlers don't think they're getting a belt while they're Doink the Clown or whatever, you know, like, when they're, like, so shticky. So I'm like, Happy Corbin. I mean, it's a good story, but how do you feud with that or whatever. So, I mean, I get that he's like fallen far from that, but I never knew where they were going with like JBL being with him afterwards. That didn't make sense.
They had potential with that thing, but boy, did that.
He was still coming out to the Happy Corbin music, and JBL was, I'm like, what is going on, guys? Come on.
And that gear they gave him was awful. Yeah, I like what's going on in NXT. He came out, no talking, just beat the shit out of the dude. Yeah. And maybe it's a good opportunity for him to reset, change his character a little bit, make it a little more meaner, because he's really good in the ring. He does really good moves, really good work. He's athletic. So, yeah, it'd be cool. But back to LA Knight. Yeah. Please give him the belt, or at least the suitcase for a full year so he can do cool shit, because you can pump all the booze you want into the audio. He's over as fuck. Mm-hmm. Did you watch that match when he qualified for the Money in the Bank? Did you hear the crowd?
Yeah, the boos were a little...
The boos were fake, but you could hear the crowd like saying, L.A. Knight. Like, they loved the guy. Mm-hmm. Like, and why are you trying to make us boo him? Just fucking go with it. They did that with Rusev. Everybody in the world was into Happy Rusev Day, and they kept trying to bury him.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I mean, I'm old enough to remember when they used to do it with Rick Rude, who, you know, they tried to make him a face, and you know, with fake cheers. And he's a heel.
Yeah, I think at this point in the social consciousness of, like, we like bad guys, you know, and we like good guys too, but, like, you can't just... Someone could be a bad guy who you like. Heel who you like, but you understand that he's like, people cheer Roman Reigns. I like Roman Reigns, but I understand that he's the dick compared to whoever he's facing against, you know? Like, I get it, you know? Yeah, it's like,
I mean, I play the part when I'm at a live show. If somebody is supposed to be a heel, I'll boo, but I'm booing with a smile on my face. Yeah, I like him, you know what I mean?
You know, it's going well at that point.
But I think, you know, and as much as we all loved like the NWO and Stone Cold, those characters, as awesome as they were and as well as they did, they're the cause of all this weirdness, because now people started cheering the heels.
Yep.
So it's just, I'm not blaming them or saying it's a bad thing that it happened. I'm just saying that that's why it's happening, that people are just confused at who they should be cheering
and booing. You cheer the good heels. You can't just, like, I keep saying all my friends, like, the inevitable Bianca heel turn. I'm like, I'm not going to buy it ever when she's in, like, all you people in Memphis, Tennessee are out of shape and don't appreciate me. I'm like, I'm not going to buy her heel turn if it's that, you know? Like, I'm just not going to buy it. You know, it's like the good heels, you believe it and you want to hate them. You can't just be like, well, everyone's booing, so I might as well not like them too. It's like,
yeah, that's true.
You see that with MJF a lot, though, too. Like, he's so funny as a heel. I mean, he's a complete dick, but you love him.
Because he's from Long Island. That makes me hate him even more, because I'm from there, too. And I'm like, oh, I know so many people like you.
I'll give AEW the props for that, that they kind of run with it. Like, when they're in Long Island, it's established. Everyone's going to cheer MJF. It's bizarro world for AEW in Long Island. They're okay with that. Like, they don't try to hide it. They're just like, fuck it. This is what it is. We're in MJF country. What are we going to do?
I mean, he comes out in an Islanders jersey.
Yeah, I hate it. Oh, my God. I hate it so much.
But speaking about Money in the Bank, so LA Knight is qualified. Also, we have Nakamura and Ricochet. And then on the women's side, we have Zelina Vega. There are four qualifying matches happening next week. And we've got Butch, which... Can't believe he's still Butch and not Pete Dunne. Please fix that, Triple H. Butch versus Baron Corbin that we were just talking about. I see Butch winning that because I think Corbin's just going to get a little bit of a run in NXT for a bit. Escobar, our buddy Santos Escobar versus Mustafa Ali. I don't know. Who do you think between Escobar and Ali?
I mean, I like Mustafa.
Yeah.
You like Mustafa?
I just I'm don't know if he's getting a push or not right now. You know, like, I really can't tell.
I don't think it was. I think it was more of a, hey, we're going to Saudi Arabia. You want to be the guy for a little bit? But I don't know. Hopefully it's Santos Escobar. Yeah, I like the
guy. Love him, yeah. LWO is hot right now.
LWO's hot. You know, he's still actively communicates with me via Instagram after we met him here at Sam Not Sam. So I'm all for it. And then on the women's side, we have Shotzi versus Io. I think Io, obviously.
Yeah.
Love Shotzi, my type of girl, tattoos, colorful hair, but I think Io is getting the push. I think they're pushing for Io versus Asuka, because that's a match that everybody wants to see. And then Bayley versus Mi Chin, which, I mean, I love me some OC Bullet Club, but that's a Bailey. Bailey's winning that for sure.
Yeah, Bailey's too. I don't think it's the other one's time yet.
No, no. She's got some work to do. I don't remember. Is she still with Keith Lee? She was married or dating Keith Lee? Mishin.
I think so. Last I heard, yes.
That bed better be reinforced with steel girders. Can you imagine
that? They just do it on the floor at that point. You know? Can't keep buying new beds, no matter how big those checks are.
Can you imagine Keith Lee horny? That is...
scary?
It's absolutely frightening.
All right, so that's for Money in the Bank, which is, I mean, I don't know. I'm excited for it. It's in London. Should be a fun pay-per-view.
Yeah. The international crowds have been insane.
Dude, they're going to keep it going.
I love it.
They're going to keep it going. I think there's rumors right now for a big show in India.
Yeah, great.
Which is, you know, it's been a long time since they've been there.
Yeah. Bring back the great Khali. Like,
you know he's going
to
be there.
Oh, you have to have. Please make his match under 3 minutes. Like,
I don't think he needs a match. We could just have him walk out, say what's up. Maybe they'll have another one of the when they had Jinder Mahal do the Punjabi prison match. You remember that shit?
That was pretty rough, to be honest with you.
But I imagine Jinder and Indusher, or the new faction he has. Is Jinder gonna wrestle? Because I feel like he's the leader of this new faction, but like he used to be this big intimidating guy, but now he's got two bigger guys.
Yeah.
Who wants to see Jinder now?
I don't know.
I just want to see the two big guys.
Yeah, I don't even know who the other guy is besides Veer.
Yeah, he was in NXT for a bit.
Okay.
But also flopped. Didn't do much. I don't know. Hopefully it's good. We'll see.
One of my literal favorite wrestling memes ever was, you know, the Veer Mahan is coming, all those.
Oh, my God.
But there was a great meme that was Vince's face put on Veer, and it just said, Veer McMahon is coming. It was so good. It was so funny.
That was so ridiculous. He was coming for like a full 6 months, I think. Talk about, what is it, tantric sex. Anyway, from what I've seen on the internet, Rollins is going to be defending that belt every day.
That's what he says. He's a fighting champ.
He's defending the belt at house shows.
I mean, that's cool for the people who go to house shows who, you know, I've been to house shows. Like, they're not the best because it's like, all right, we're just doing this to get your money.
Absolutely.
So, I can't imagine him losing at a house show.
No.
Because then you'd have to explain that on TV. Yeah. But I think it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, dude, if we're going to talk about house shows, Rhea Ripley doesn't even wear makeup at house shows.
Wow. She's cute with no makeup. I mean, Mr. Buddy, I'm just...
My wife doesn't watch this, so...
Yeah, I just saw, I feel like a day or two ago, I forget where they were doing a house show, and it looked like old school Raw. Like, it looked like a... I think it literally was a civic auditorium or something like that. I'm like, this is a couple of notches below like what I would assume they do.
Yeah, they don't wear makeup. I mean, if you watch Being the Elite, you know that there's a thing called the house show autograph, which is where you don't even put any effort into it. It's just kind of like a line.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like that, at least.
No, there's house show signatures going around.
You know, I mean, the fans, we all spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
At least sign your name. How hard can it be?
Yeah, but talking about defending the belt, you know, Rollins has announced an open challenge tonight on Raw. I didn't watch it yet, but I saw the clips and the highlights, and I saw that, you know, Damian Priest was up for the fight. I dig Rollins doing the open challenge, and I dig him being a fighting champion, but I'm not invested in watching Priest and Rollins have a match.
Yeah.
I love Priest, but you know he's not going to win.
Yeah.
You know Rollins is not dropping that belt for a while, at least 6 months, you know?
Yeah, I mean, on TV especially, I don't want to see Rollins every... kind of. I like it when they take a little bit of a break and then, you know...
Makes it feel special.
Yeah, if he's doing it every week, it's just...
You know it's entertainment, so there's not really, besides complete shock value, there's no entertainment value in... Open a challenges? Random person winning, you know, not random, but like no program set up, no, you know,
it's right,
like,
no story.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what I was saying. The only upside is that eventually, when he does lose to somebody, it's going to be a crazy shock.
Yeah,
what? Mm-hmm. You know, Dominic Mysterio, please make it happen.
I mean, unless they brought back people from the past, you know, I'm not saying like when Heath Slater would call out a legend, but like if you brought back just people you haven't seen in a while,
yeah,
he gives them their shot. Something like that. would be more entertaining.
Is Randy's not coming back? Is he coming back?
Who knows, man? It's unfortunate. Randy was like peaking.
Yeah, Randy.
Which is crazy to say, considering his long career. He was at an all-time high right before the injury. And now I think it's been too long. If he comes back, it's not. I'm sure it'll be a big pop when he comes back. But I don't think it's going to be as hot anymore. Mm-hmm. But apparently, the injury could be career-ending. It's a neck, back, spine injury. So
it's one of those injuries where if it happened like Edge or Shawn Michaels or something, and you take 10 years off, and you come back in your late 30s, but he's already 40-something, right?
Yeah, so he can't come back
in his 50s. Seems rough, exactly, yeah.
Even though, I mean,
why not?
Physical specimen and all you know, but I wouldn't really want to see a 50-year-old champ. But hopefully he gets back. You know, well wishes for Mr. Viper. But I don't know. How do you feel? Do you think it's good for the belt, I guess, to do this open challenge thing? Because Cody tried it in AEW with the TNT Championship. And while it did help a lot of younger talent get some TV time, I don't think it did much for the belt.
I mean, I just think the opponent's the key. Like, he's not going to drop it for a while. So it has to be an interesting opponent. You know, maybe a call-up from NXT 1 week. You know, that showcases him a little bit. And an older guy who hasn't been on the scene for a bit. Maybe injured or you know, I mean, there's a huge roster, so like, there's potential to. They got to keep it fresh because I don't want to see anyone wrestle every week.
No,
that's true.
That's what I like about AEW and MJF. He doesn't wrestle every week, so like, you're more into what he does.
Yeah, there needs to be. It's almost like overcorrecting for Roman wrestling once a quarter at this point, where they're like, we need Seth to wrestle every night. It's like, well, maybe somewhere in between.
I do wish he would wrestle more.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So moving on, the last thing I have, well, I kind of already talked about it, was Baron Corbin and Mustafa Ali showing up in NXT. I think that's good for both of them. They've both been on a losing streak, kind of. This gives them the opportunity to kind of rebuild, change their character a little bit. But also I wanted to mention, we talked about it last week, the hooded female that's been harassing the women's division in NXT. Everybody thought it was going to be Mandy returning. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being Blair Davenport. Who? Hmm? What? Like, I'm sure she has fans out there, but was this really the way to bring her back? Like,
No.
When she pulled the thing out, there was like zero reaction. Like, everybody in the audience like, who's that? What's going on? It should have been Mandy. I know that probably she's still. I mean, I know for a fact that she just put out a collaborative, like, half-naked thing with Paige Van... Do you remember Paige Van Zandt?
UFC.
The UFC, and she was in AEW for a little bit. So both of them are doing, like, nudie things on the internet now. So I don't think anytime soon she'll be back in
NXT. I mean, if money is what matters, and it does to most people, she's making so much more money just being
not hurting herself.
Yeah.
Not I don't
having
blame
to train
her.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know, some of those OnlyFans, you know, why put your body through that?
No.
I mean, if there is a market out there for me to be on OnlyFans, please let me know in the comments. I'll stop my job right now and start showing you my titties.
Please.
I'd much rather have an OnlyFans than like two podcasts, a coffee company,
a band.
Like
all that. Touring across
the band is like the main thing, but all this other stuff I do, I'm like, nothing would be worth just being naked on the internet.
Well, you're in your 40s. There's a market for daddy content out there.
But right. I mean, that's why a lot of comics don't do the road anymore, because they have their shows on YouTube and Patreon. Yeah. And I don't know about bands, but like, you know, my one friend, Kevin Brennan, he makes $300,000 a year on YouTube and Patreon.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he doesn't tour at all. And he's an amazing killer comic. Yeah. He's like, why would I leave my house?
It's getting real tough for bands touring as well. I mean, maybe you can speak on this, but like touring in Europe, I hear a lot of bands canceling and just like, no, we can't afford it.
I mean, I could really only speak for myself. Bands on our level here that we're friends with, like our contemporaries, have way better international careers than we do. And we have our reasons for it. Our record label coming up never put our records out. We had no distro anywhere but America, basically. Mm. And he wouldn't support us anywhere but America. So while we were happening here in like the mid to late 2000s, we were growing here and nowhere else. So we just don't have an international career. So we're missing like a whole part of our income pie is like just America, you know, like straight up, that's where all of our money comes from. So if we could make even 20% of what we made in America overseas, life would be different. But no, it's just, yeah, with expenses going up, I mean, there's so much more competition for whether it's comedians or music, bands, anything. There's just so much because it's everything's been given back to the people, and everything's, it's so easy to make music or comedy or something on your phone and put it out there and have fans. So everything, it's amazing because you get Billie Eilish out of all that. You know, you get someone who's able to make a groundbreaking record in their bedroom. But it also makes thousands and tens of thousands of other people that just like kind of clog the airwaves, you know, and splinter attention, I guess is another way to put it. So it's difficult. I mean, we deal with it on a daily basis, but us dealing with like the modern age of music more has to do with us just being like all like 40-year-old gnarly dudes who don't TikTok, you know, like that's our issue is that, and our fans don't really either, you know, like I don't think a 35-year-old or a 30-year-old person is finding out about our band on TikTok, you know, like they're watching funny videos and funny cat videos, but they're not finding out of new bands, you know, but kids are, you know, so like I don't shit on that. That's the new MTV, you know, like that's great. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm happy that people are discovering music, but, going overseas has just never been great for us. Like we're even talking about going to the UK this year and are wondering if we're going to make money. Like it's rough.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, moving into some AEW stuff. So Earl gets pepped up on this, right?
No, I'm good. I loosely follow WWE because I just, you know.
Well, now we know he's a Bloodline fan.
Yeah.
But I'm getting into it at the end of the storyline.
Oh, the story never ends, brother.
That's how I am.
See the press conference with Triple H. The story never ends. There's always more to tell.
I'm just getting into Weezer. No, I'm not kidding. And there is the great. We don't get many celebrity pop-ins, but
I didn't say I was popping in. I'm just saying hi.
Oh, I'm just showing respect.
Is there cutaways to me?
That's a two-camera shoot, bro.
Paulie Shore.
Just get in the camera frame for a second. It could bump our numbers.
Say hi to our friend. This is my buddy Nick. He's in the band Bayside.
Hey, punk how are you? Band. Nice to see you.
This is Finn.
Right over here.
Finn.
Or over here.
Guys, you can't see him, but we just have a legend.
I'm just going to pop in.
Just show your face to that camera. The Weasel. Comedy legend, Paulie Shore, guys.
Mitzi Shore's son. You guys are doing good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You should be our guest sometime.
The Jews called a mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah.
A mitzvah? Hell yeah.
Playmates.
No.
Okay.
Well.
Paulie, I told you. Saw you watching Good Times one day. I was going to unpass you, but it's your mom's club.
Wow.
Thank you, Paulie.
Thanks, Paulie.
Ari Manis,
how you doing, bro?
Biggest dick at the Comedy Store.
I thought that was Don Barris. What happened?
No, it's Jamar Neighbors.
All right. Going back into some AEW news.
Please, let's go back into anything.
Some AEW news. I mentioned last week, and it lasted a whole week, that I would not mention CM Punk on this podcast anymore. Until he actually officially showed up. So guess what? He's officially coming back. I hope you're happy. I hope you're at home putting little X's on your fucking wrists and hands and whatnot and going like this on the mirror. CM Punk is back. He will be the star of Collision, the Saturday night AEW show. It'll be the CM Punk show because the roster that's going to be accompanying him is all his buddies. It's anybody that actually likes him because nobody wants to work with him on the Dynamite show.
Not this guy.
Definitely not this guy.
V-Trigger your ass back to the Hollywood scene.
We'll see what happens. I know eventually we're going to get it. Mm-hmm. We're going to get the Collision versus Dynamite, CM Punk versus Kenny thing. I think they're going to establish the Collision show and make it happen for a while, and then that'll eventually lead into the Elite versus FTR and CM Punk. But he's back. I hope you're happy.
Isn't Andrade on it, too?
Andrade.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Miro, Hobbs, Powerhouse Hobbs, a couple other folks. Samoa Joe, for some reason, even though he's the ROH.
I hear that's still possibly the first feud, right?
Yeah, that's the rumored feud. I don't know why. Like, they're... they keep fusing in ROH instead of keeping it its own thing.
I don't like it.
It's too weird. It's too convoluted. There's too many belts. It's the same problem New Japan has. I fucking love New Japan, but there are 37 champions over there. It's a little bit ridiculous. But anyway, CM Punk is back. Now you can go listen to Cult of Personality, even though I'm more of a Killswitch guy, you know, when he had his Killswitch music. Other than that, remember last week when I said Aubrey Edwards should wrestle?
Yeah.
Apparently it's happening.
I mean, you know.
Mark Briscoe suggested it. They did a promo backstage with Aubrey and I forget Jarrett's wife's name.
Karen.
Karen Jarrett. And they did a little scuffle. They're talking about a mixed tag between Jeff and Karen?
I'm assuming it would be Jeff and Karen and
versus
Mark
and Aubrey.
I mean, you know, as long as their part is, I'm not saying it because they're women, but they're not wrestlers. Keep it short and then let...
Just let them pull each other's hair for a while, around a little
bit. It's going to be... Attitude Era women's wrestling.
Right, Sable.
Or, you know, listen, and this is going back to WWE, and you know, I'm old, I've had a lot of head injuries, I've jumped off of many stages during my band days. My brain is a little foggy. But Trish Stratus going on TV saying how she revolutionized women's wrestling and made it what it is today. Am I wrong? But didn't she just, like, come out in her bra and panties? Like,
I mean, she was a little more than that, but...
It was mostly that. It was mostly Vince making her bark like a dog. Like,
yeah, I feel like Vince made her do that, but clearly she could wrestle. But really? Also, nobody else could wrestle back then.
That's what
so
I'm
that
saying.
Was another
people,
issue.
No, I don't see.
I don't think they wanted anyone wrestling. I would say Lita more revolutionized.
Right, that's my pick. But Trish, like, I don't know. Anyway, going back to what we were saying. Mark Briscoe and Aubrey versus the Jarretts is a possibility, and you know, I said it last week. I mean, if you're gonna have her, if you're gonna have Aubrey the referee be that much of a character, then fucking make her wrestle, and it seems to be happening. Mm-hmm. So cool. Other than that, I have Don Callis getting Dominic Mysterio level heat on television. It's crazy. He came out with Takeshita, and they wouldn't let him talk. It was loud as shit. Boos all across the arena. Good shit. I gotta give Don, you know, the carny piece of shit. Gotta give him that his props.
I mean, I think a few months ago I said he was useless because he didn't really say anything, and he just kind of walked behind Omega and made a funny face. But that was one of the better heel manager segments I've seen in 10 years. Like, they hated him, and he was great. It's a bad, like, a quiet. He didn't say. I've talked to him before at the Flair roast. His English is a little rough. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great to keep him quiet.
Yeah.
And just make him look badass, mean. Cool black jacket. Like, it was cool.
And he's a great wrestler. So
yeah. I'm into it.
Don always, for me, it was always like, I don't react a lot to like shock value, whether it's comedy or whatever. And a lot of his stuff he would say. I haven't watched in a minute.
Right.
So I don't know how that segment just went.
It's amazing.
A lot of it, I was just like, you're just saying, like, crazy stuff, guy. Like, it never really got... That's just not my, like... Specifically with comedy. I know, like comics get big, and if they're, like, shock value, I'm like, it's not really how you get me, you know? Like, I need a good joke. I don't need you to just say crazy words, you know? Like,
sure.
So, a lot of the stuff he would say, I'd be like, get it, but it's just too much.
But in his defense, I will say Omega and the Bucks are great heels on their own, so I don't know if they really need a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
But Takeshita absolutely does.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you. Go out of your way and watch that segment. It was, like I said, Dominic Mysterio level of heat.
Like, actual people actually hate him.
Oh, you couldn't. The only thing I've seen in the last couple of years that was that level was when... Elias and Kevin Owens mentioned the Seattle Supersonics leaving Seattle in Seattle.
Oof. Yeah.
And Kevin Owens is like, I don't get it. I don't follow sports. it's that bad. Or good, I guess.
Yeah, good. It was good. I got to give him also props for dedication for the story. That fucking gash on his forehead. Like, to be permanently marked for a story is... That's dedication.
No.
I would not do that myself, but that's why I'm hosting the podcast.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I think it went well. I'm excited to see where it goes. good for him.
I mean, the only thing that's tough about it is, you know, him and Omega are best friends in real life.
Yeah.
So that's why I try and not know much about their personal lives, because it's ruined. Like, from Winnipeg, they're going to hang after this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, well, I mean, look, they did a good job of selling me. That's really what got me back into New Japan a few years back, when Kenny versus Jericho. Like, you know Kenny and Jericho are buddies.
Right.
But they did a good job of convincing me that, yeah, maybe they're war buddies, and then now they hate each other because they're fighting who has the biggest ego, who's the best wrestler, all that stuff. So.
And they're both from Winnipeg, right? Yeah. Jericho's? Yeah.
And Callis.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. You can't be mad. There's only like 100 people who live in Winnipeg. You can't be mad at like 20% of the people who live there.
But apparently they're from different parts of Winnipeg. Yeah, like Jericho is from the nicer part, and Omega's from the more isolate part, I guess. So there's like east, west.
Oh, I've been. Winnipeg. Yeah, it's just one long road. That
I did comedy there once. And it was minus 21.
Yeah.
And I had on 3 pairs of pants.
Yeah, you have to.
Hoodie. I mean, I looked ridiculous, but it was so. And minus 21 with no wind chill. No. Like, and this guy was in shorts and flip-flops outside, clearly a local. And he's like, where are you from? I'm like, Los Angeles. He just looks at me, pussy.
Yeah. No, it's dangerous. Anything minus is dangerous. Like, straight-up dangerous.
Frostbite.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Jerry Lynn, the legend himself, who I'm honored to have shared some beers with, and Stokely Hathaway are now the board of directors in Ring of Honor. It is a kayfabe authority stable, I guess. But they're going to be like the GMs. They're going to be on. This hasn't aired. So spoiler alert, Ring of Honor TV people, all 10 of you. But yeah, they're doing like an on-screen kayfabe authority figures with Jerry Lynn and Stokely Hathaway.
I mean, I don't know if enough people care about those two to be like, oh, no, and I love Stokely, but like, I don't, especially with Jerry Lynn, if you're a newer fan, you don't know who he is.
Yeah,
like,
I know who he is, but like,
so, I mean, it's they could promote Ring of Honor a little better.
For sure. They need to be on TV. I'm not paying for Honor Club. I'm sorry. Yeah. I love most of the wrestlers on Ring of Honor. I just can't justify New Japan World, fucking Peacock. And I can't. It's too much. It's enough. But good on Jerry Lynn for getting some TV time. I'm happy he's on TV with Stokely. But that's happening.
But what happens to the firm now? Is Stokely...
The firm's dead. The firm got deleted.
Oh, at the ranch match, which
did
might have
been...
Did
you watch the extended version?
I did not. The regular version was enough.
Matt Hardy did a... Hardy Compound, I don't know if you saw this, Nick, but Hardy Compound firm deletion, like cinematic match.
Okay.
And it was the room, Tommy Wiseau levels of bad. So it's up to you if you're into that kind of stuff.
Go to the Callis promo first. You're gonna, or watch that second. You're going to need a palate cleanser after that match.
Yeah.
And the last bit of news for AEW will lead me into the last segment, which is New Japan. But Dominion happened yesterday, maybe the day before, in Japan, Osaka, I believe. And we had Okada, Ishii, and Tanahashi versus Moxley, Claudio, and Shota Umino. And after the match, Moxley got on the mic and said, "We have a message for Okada." And it was Brian Danielson, the American Dragon, calling out Okada. Okada, who's been known to be one of the world's best wrestlers of all time in Japan. I think this Forbidden Door is the actual Forbidden Door we were supposed to get on the first one. This is the dream match. For me, anyway, Brian Danielson versus Okada is something I'm going to watch with popcorn. I'm going to be up at whatever time it takes. Like a little kid waiting for this match. Very fucking excited for it. The promo was amazing. If you haven't seen it, you have. Fucking Brian Danielson, like, "Oh, they call you the Rainmaker? Well, when you get in the ring with me, it's going to be a fucking desert. There's not going to be any rain." Like,
it was a good promo.
That was a good fucking promo. And he made a face that, for the first time ever, I understood the American Dragon. He looked like a dragon. It was crazy. Very excited about that. Additionally, at that same New Japan show, Dominion, Osprey defeated Lance Archer, and so now we officially have for Forbidden Door Osprey versus Omega 2, first time in AEW. Are you excited?
It doesn't really matter what the other matches are.
this is your dream match.
With these two matches by themselves, and like I'm ordering this pay-per-view.
Absolutely. I think we need to do something special for this pay-per-view.
I mean, it's interesting, you know, will they have Omega lose and then maybe a trilogy in London? Because I'm assuming Forbidden Door 2 is going to be a setup for London, which has to be an international card.
Yeah.
So, but I can't wait. I mean, those two have great chemistry, and even in Ospreay's short promo yesterday, it was like, wow, this is going to be good.
Yeah, man. I'm very, very excited for Forbidden Door 2. It's it's shaping up to be really awesome as a New Japan fan. Another piece of news. I'm going to quick recap of Dominion. I'm not going to go through all the matches. There was too many. And like I said, there's like 47 champions. But Zack Sabre Jr., our buddy, beat Jeff Cobb to retain his television championship. Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi both won the New Japan Strong and IWGP tag belts, heavyweight tag belts, which are the ones that were dropped by United Empire that day we were there. So those are the new champs. David Finlay retains the never open weight title. And then, of course, Okada, Ishii, and Tanahashi that I mentioned earlier defeated Moxley, Claudio, and Shota for the never open weight six-man tag titles. Really good pay-per-view. If you have New Japan World, go watch Dominion. It was a lot of fun. And then, finally, the last bit that I have, Eddie Kingston is in the G1 Climax.
That's pretty cool.
Makes me very happy. I have some inside that I'll share with you guys. I was at Bloodsport 9 hanging out backstage with Moxley and Eddie Kingston, and they were talking about New Japan. I was like, oh, when are you going to go over there? And he was like, oh, man, I told Tony Khan if he doesn't let me do the G1, I'm really quitting AEW. Because this is right when he kayfabe quit to go to Ring of Honor. He's like, if he doesn't let me do the G1, I'm quitting for real. So, and then Moxie was like, no, I'm not going to let that happen. So I'm very happy for him. I know this is a dream come true for Eddie Kingston. I connect a lot to Eddie. I'm from, you know, the New York area. I'm also not in the best shape. I'm also angry and I hate everything.
Love it.
So I love Eddie Kingston, and this makes me very, very happy. So congrats to him, and I'm very stoked to see him kick ass in the G1 Climax.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be neat. You know, I love when they cross promote, and I think he's very underutilized in AEW.
So good on the mic.
Yeah, really always good drawn in the ring. Just for New York reasons. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. New York reasons.
But I will say one more thing about Omega. He did mention in a good promo that was only to the, it was off air after All or Nothing, or was it Double or Nothing?
Double or Nothing.
That the numbers are uneven. And he has friends all over. He didn't say Golden Lovers reunion, but he kind of hinted that one or two guys are, you know, going to... You know.
I'm hoping Ibushi is the one. I think we briefly touched on it last week, but I think it's got to be Ibushi. We got to get the Lovers.
But how would you have the Bucks... Because I think a good storyline would be the Bucks turn on Omega. So everyone's turned on him, and then you see a Golden Lovers against the Bucks. Or am I thinking too much?
No. I mean, I got to see the Golden Lovers versus the Bucks at that pyramid that we went to a few years back. Would be cool to revisit that story in AEW outside of New Japan. But I think we're going to see the full elite with Adam Hangman Page, whatever his fucking name is. Hangman! I think the full elite is going to go on for a little bit at least.
Right.
But yeah, I think eventually maybe they turn on him and make Kenny kind of like be solo, maybe even at Forbidden Door. Who knows?
And then London is...
Actually, no. You know what? It won't happen at Forbidden Door because Ibushi has issues with New Japan. Okay. He left New Japan, so that's not going to happen there.
Well, never mind the last 5 minutes. Sorry.
But either way, I mean, Ibushi, I think for sure Ibushi's coming to AEW soon. He's mentioned it on Twitter. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. But... my voice is going away. This is the end. I'm out of news. So that's all I have. But I want to thank you, Nick.
Thank you
for joining us, buddy.
Finn's coming in for the end here.
Finn. Everybody say hello to Finn. Follow his Instagram account. I don't know if you should get on it, man.
I just post them on my main thing.
Finn, I'll bring Lois down from the car. You guys can hang.
Yeah. But Nick, let everybody know right here where they can find your band, Bayside, information. Where do they follow you? Your shows. Thank them. Yeah. You know, thank the maker. Everything.
Plus. I mean, the easiest thing is at Nick Bayside on Instagram. That's my main hub. Everything else will be there, and like link in bio, all that type of stuff. But if you're a Star Wars fan, I co-host Thank the Maker with the singer of Yellow Card, whose name is Ryan Key, and the bass player of Story of the Year, who is named Adam Russell. So we talk about Star Wars a bunch. We also host a Star Wars themed emo night called Mosh Eisley. And we're doing our next one is during San Diego Comic Con in San Diego on July 21st. So that'll be a lot of fun. Legal Speed Coffee, you mentioned, me and the drummer of Bayside, Chris. It's actually the reason I moved to California from New York 6 years ago. Nice. Was to start a coffee roasting company. And that's it. And I also do a radio show on Spotify called The Radio Show, and that's just me trying to I've never stopped liking music. I love discovering new music. I like it, keeps me young. Whenever I find a band that I like now, I still feel like I'm like 15, and I go see them and buy shirts and all this stuff and try to get my friends to listen to them. So the best I could do to try and help other bands get heard is to have a radio show of my own. So I have it on Spotify because I actually do stream music, and Spotify owns or bought Anchor a year or two ago. So you could actually make a podcast and stream music out of Spotify. So it's only on Spotify, and it's called The Radio Show. So that's a good passion project that I put out every Tuesday.
Hell yeah, brother. Well, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Of course,
follow me at RRBG Podcast. Recent episode with RJ City is doing really well. I had a blast with him. Talked to a bunch of musicians, and I've had Nick on a couple times. You can check that out. RRBG Podcast. Also, follow this show at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram and at Store is War on Twitter. Earl.
At Earl Skakel everywhere. And like Tim Dillon has 15,000 Patreon subscribers. I don't mean to brag, but I just got my 15th today. So
hell yeah.
Let's get me to 20.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. We'll see you next week.